Good morning, everyone. I was asked to give a shiur today on the topic of mitzvah shebein adam lachaveiro, inyanei chesed and tzedakah. Many commentaries on the Chumash assume that all of the mitzvahs are to be divided into two categories. One category, bein adam lamokim, the other category, bein adam lachaveiro. Some of the commentaries assume that the aseres adibros, this is a question, aseres adibros written five on one of the shnei luchos habris, and five on the other one, or all ten were written on each. That's a question in the Midrashim. So according to many commentaries on Chumash, the assumption is made that the first five of the Aseres HaDibros are Ben Adam HaMokim, and the next five are Ben Adam HaChaveiro. It is well known from the Vilna Goyen that he disagreed with this oversimplification. He claimed, based on Gemaras and based on Psukim and Nevi'im and Ksufim, that there are three categories of mitzvahs, the Ben Adam HaMokim, that we're familiar with, Kashrus Shabbos, Taras HaMishpacha, Ben Adam LaChaveiro, and the third category is Ben Adam LiAtzmo, that the obligation of a person to work on his midas and to preserve his midas is considered Ben Adam LiAtzmo. He quoted him on many passages. He quoted the Gemara Baba Kama on Daf Lamed, where the Gemara says, "Hai man deboy lemevi chasida." If a person wants to develop to become a chassid, what should he be careful about? So one statement to the Gemara says he should be careful about brachas. The Kaimili de Brach is one statement, the Kaimili de Nezikin, and the third statement to be the Kaimili de Ovis. So the Vilna Gaon said, these are the three areas of Halacha. Brachas is Ben Adam HaMokim, Nezikin is Ben Adam LaHavero, and Ovis, Pirkei Ovis, is Ben Adam LiAtzmo. What is the Ben Adam LiAtzmo? That's based on the Pasuk in Parshas Kisove that reads, V'halach de Bidrachov, we should imitate the ways of God. And the next pasuk continues, "Varok alami ha'aretz," when all of the nations of the world will see, "Kishem Hashem nikro alecha," that you have succeeded in preserving your tzelem alakim. Because after all, what does it mean, "V'halach to bedrachav"? We should imitate the ways of God. When a person, when a little girl dresses up like a mommy, she puts on a shekel and she puts on high heels and she screams at the young children, she gives pets. Someday she's going to be a mommy, so she's preparing. When a little boy puts on a stethoscope and he makes believe he's a doctor, someday he may become a doctor. Why should we imitate the ways of God? Is he considering retiring? That someone should practice to take over? He doesn't plan to retire. So when a person tries to act as if he's someone whom he isn't, he's going to have a nervous breakdown. He's going to go meshuggah. So why should we imitate the ways of God? The answer is because God created us all the Tzelem Elokim. And we have it already. Not we're trying to imitate someone whom we are not. We have already the Tzelem. Everybody has the Tzelem Elokim. Chaviv Adam Shaviv B'Tzelem. The Jews and the non-Jews, we assume, have the Tzelem Elokim. So the Pasuk instructs us, V'alach Adrach, we should preserve that Tzelem Elokim. We have to study Tanakh to know what are Darchei Hashem, what are the ways of God. And then the next Pasuk says, V'roh Kalami Horas, when all the nations of the world will realize, because the Jewish people are supposed to act as an or lagoyim, as a light unto the nation. Light unto the nations in what area? That's what the Novi Yeshaya says. Light unto the nation in what area? In Shabbos and Kashrus. That's not relevant to the non-Jews. In the areas of integrity and honesty and menschlichkeit and so on. So we're supposed to act as an or lagoyim. So where does it say that? In Chumash, we have a tradition in the Gemara. The Nevi'im don't come up with new ideas that don't appear in the Chumash. This is where it says in the Chumash. V'ro'u kalami ha'aretz, when all the nations of the world will see that the Jewish people have succeeded in preserving their Tzelem Elokim by acting with integrity, honesty, and so on. Then the Yoru Mimeko, they will learn from us how to act with Yirah Shamayim. So the obligation for a person to develop his midas is to preserve the midas that he has, to preserve the Tzelem Elokim that was implanted within him when he was born. So that's what the Vilna Gaon considers the third category of mitzvahs that he calls Bein Adam LiAtzmo. What is the basis of the obligation? All of the obligations are because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us. He gave us the Ben Adam Lamokam, Ben Adam Lachavera, and Ben Adam Liatzmo. What is the idea behind all of the Ben Adam Lachavera? So there is a medrash that Rashi quotes in the beginning of Parshas Vayichi in his commentary on Chumash, that when Yaakov Avinu is about to die, so he requests of Yosef that he should do a chesed ve'emes. There's a chesed and there's a chesed shalemes. Usually referred to in Europe, they used to refer to the Chevre Kadisha is the Chevre Chesed Shalemus. Chesed Shalemus is Chesed where you don't expect to be repaid. I'm going to do a Toiba to the Bar Minan, to the dead person. When you do Chesed to a living person, when I dance at your wedding, the halacha says you're obligated to dance at my wedding. If I gave you a chasna and a matana, you're obligated to dance at my wedding to give me back a chasna and a matana. The Gemara even says, shushbinas niglis bebezin. Gemara. That if you don't give me a chasna and a matana, I can sue you in bezin. Whenever I do a taiva for you, if I read a shirach for your children, so you will have to try to help me find shibuchim for my children. When I go be menachem avim, avakachel, whatever I do for you, you're obligated to do back for me. So the basis of all of the mitzvahs should be not a machaveiro, if you're doing it to a living person, is reciprocity. I'm mechuyev to do for you what you're mechuyev to do back for me. That's why, strictly speaking, mitzad mitzvah should be not a machaveiro. They don't apply to a non-Jew, because the non-Jew is not mechuyev to do back for us. A non-mechuyev to do for the non-Jew is not mechuyev to do back for us. But then the Rambam says that there's another mitzvah of Erachim of Akol Ma'asav. That's Bin Adam Le'atma. A person has to act as a Rachmani, as a Rachman, as a Baal Chesed, not only because it's going to be reciprocity. I'll do for you in exchange for which you're going to do back for me. I'm chayiv to act in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'halachta b'drachav. You have to have a Chesed, you have to have kindness to animals. So of course you have to be kind to Nachrim as well, to the non-Jews as well. But strictly speaking, Bein Adam Lachaveir is only when there's going to be reciprocity. So that's where Rashi quotes from the Medrash, that when Yaakov Avinu requested of Yosef that he should be matriach and bury him in Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Kenan, not to bury him in Mitzrayim, that was a chesed shel emes, because chesed shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes, that's the main midah of Elokus, the main midah of God is really Midas Oemes. The Gemara says that once a note fell down from heaven, and Nashik Nes HaGdoyla saw the note, and it was signed Emes, so they understood that it was signed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever that Agarata means, that the main Midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Midas Oemes. So usually Chesed that you do with Chaim, you expect to have a Tashlum Schar. There's going to be reciprocity, they're going to pay back. But when Yaakov Avinu requests of Yosef that he should do a Matavi after he dies, that's a Chesed just for the Midah. The midah of chesed, not because of Bein Adam HaChaveiro. Now, Soloveitchik pointed out a very fascinating interpretation that the Avar Benel has on the Pasuk in Chumash. The Torah tells us we are obligated to give tzedakah to the poor. So the Pasuk says, Ki lo yechdal evyon mikerev haaretz. There will always be poor people in the world. That's why God instructs us, baby, that we have to give charity to the poor. So to give this as the reason for the obligation of tzedakah is very difficult. Many sociologists claim that it does make sense that there should be a mitzvah, an inyan of giving tzedakah, because you're never going to solve the problem of poverty. Someone or another is always going to be poor, so you're going to, it's like you have a dam holding back the water, and then there's a hole in the dam, you put your hand over there. Then there's another hole, you put your hand over there. Then there's a third hole. You only have two hands, so what are you going to do? Put your hand over here? The flood is going to come anyway. So what are you going to accomplish by giving tzedakah to the aniyim? Someone else is going to be poor. So you give some money to them, someone else is going to be poor. So you're never going to solve the problem anyway. So the Chumash gives this as the reason why you are obligated to give tzedakah. Lo yechdal evyon mikerev haaretz. We will never solve, we'll never be able to solve the problem of poverty. That's why we're all obligated to give tzedakah. That should be the reason why it doesn't make sense to give tzedakah. So then the Gemara comments on the Pasuk, Ki biglal, same parsha. Ki biglal hadavar hazeh yivarechach Hashem alakecha. If you will give tzedakah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you a blessing as a reward for giving tzedakah. So the Gemara has a comment, a play on words, on the word biglal, that poverty is a galgal hachayza ba'olam. That you never have a family that for 20 generations they're always wealthy. They'll be wealthy for 5 generations, 10 generations, then they're going to lose the money, and they're going to be poor also. Why did the rabbis have that comment on this phrase, ki biglal? That aniyas, poverty is a galgal hachayza ba'olam. So the Avar Benel writes in his commentary on Chumash, we are obligated to give tzedakah to the poor because someday we will be poor, because poverty is a galgal hachayza ba'olam, because poverty will never be eradicated. So we're obligated to give to others in exchange for which they're obligated to give back to us. And even if we have millions set aside in the bank and we're never going to go broke, and our children, our grandchildren, but poverty is a galgal hachayza ba'olam, maybe in 10 generations. So I'm obligated to do for the others in exchange for which they're obligated to do for me. So this is the basis, the obligation of all of the mitzvahs, Ben Adam HaMokah, Ben Adam HaChaver, Ben Adam Latzmas, all because HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed us, He commanded us. That's what a mitzvah means, a commandment. It doesn't mean a good deed. Mitzvah means a commandment, we're mechuyev to do it. But the idea behind all of the mitzvahs should be another lachavera is that there's reciprocity we're mechuyev to do for others in exchange for which they're mechuyev to do for us. As opposed to the mitzvahs should be another liatzmo, we're mechuyev to do for others even if they're not going to be able to reciprocate. That's the need that Tov HaKadosh Baruch Hu does kindness for people. We can't repay him. So we have the obligation because of the halacha v'rachav to go in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to preserve the tzel and the kim that we have. To be kind even to the behemoths, or certainly to be kind to people who will never repay that kindness. The Gemara has terms for mitzvah bin Adam lahavera and mitzvah bin Adam liatzma. The Gemara refers to the mitzvahs bin Adam lamakam as isura, and mitzvah should bin Adam lahavera. The Gemara calls mamona. Mamona usually means money, dollars and cents, but over here it doesn't mean, in this context in the Gemara, it doesn't mean money, it means obligations. Bein Adam Lachaveiro. We have the pasuk in Chumash says, "Ki polim imcha dover la'mishpat." If there will be something vague, unclear in halacha, and there'll be a dispute among the rabbanim, not every machlokes among the rabbanim is because somebody does know the din. Could be that they both know the din and they have an argument what the din is supposed to be. A lot of times it's say l'vi ele din relechim chay. So there are two legitimate opinions. So the pasuk says, whenever we can't resolve a dispute, then it's causing friction in the community. But it doesn't cause friction, so fine. So let the balabatim in this community follow their rabbi. In Europe, that was the practice. They didn't have email. They didn't talk on a telephone. So this rabbi pasuk like that, the other city, the rabbi pasuk in the other way, and everything was fine. The original plan was that we're going to be 12 shvatim, and every shevet had its own bezn hagodol, and every bezn hagodol pasuk for their shevet, according to their shorish neshama. They should follow the aloha like this. The only way to go to the Bez Nagorl to have one psak for all of Pali soil if it's causing friction in the community. But if there's no friction, so let them follow their sheet, and they should follow their sheet. This is a new thing now because everybody uses email. So for so many years, whatever Rabbi Yashiv would sneeze, everybody in the world has to follow. Why does everybody have to follow Rabbi Yashiv? His followers in Yerushalayim should follow Rabbi Yashiv. The people in Chicago should follow Rabbi Schwartz. The people in California should follow the local rabbi there. Each community should follow their own rabbi. It's a new thing, because there's instant communication all over. So the pasuk says, whenever there's friction, so you have to resolve the issue, you can't just leave it to Elu v'Elu. So you have to ask the Bezna HaGodol in Yerushalayim, the great Sanhedrin, whatever they pasken is binding on everybody. So the pasuk delineates three different areas of halacha where there could be a machlokes. Bein dam ledam, bein din ledin, and bein nega lenega. So in the commentary on Chumash, that's attributed to the Vilna Gaon, the students of the Vilna Gaon wrote most of the Svar. Vilna Gaon only wrote his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch and on the Zohar himself. All the other Svar were written by students, but they attribute this comment to the Vilna Gaon. The Kaan, in this pasuk, Kivala HaTorah, the Torah includes, the Torah is referring to all of the three areas of Halacha. Dam LaDam is Isa VeHeter, Din LaDin is Dini Maminis, and Nega LaNega is Tumah VeTara, Tumah Tzaraz, Nega Tzaraz. That there were three areas of halacha. There's dini mominis, and there's zisa v'heter, and there's tuma v'tara. And we assume each area of halacha is self-contained and has one big system. That's why a lot of times the Gemara, the Koilot is Lani Bavakama, the beginning of Bavakama, but in every mesichta like that, the Gemara learns that the dinecha v'chaveiro. We assume all the dinim fit into one big pattern. How do we know? We just observed sukkahs. How do you know that you have to hold the lulav up and the esrog up? That you're not yotzi if you hold it upside down. So there is no pasuk by lulav and esrog. The pasuk is by the atzei shitim omdim, by the karshei hamishkan, when they built the mishkan. Omdim means kedera kedilosam. They had to use the wooden boards the way they grew on the tree. They couldn't use it sideways, they couldn't use it upside down. So we assume all the laws of Isa v'heter, all the mitzvahs fit into one big system, one big mosaic. Everything fits into one big pattern. And everything has to fit, so you can learn that midinach lachaveros. So everything should fit into that pattern. And the same is true: all of dini mominus fits into one pattern, and all of tumah v'tara fits into one pattern. But the Gemara has a klal: isem mitumah lo yafinon. You cannot derive something from tumah v'tara to isur v'heter. Isur mimamayna lo yafinon, because these are three distinct areas of halacha. So that's clear in the Gemara that dini mominus is referred to as mamayna. Bein Adam Machaveir is referred to as Mamayna, and Bein Adam Amokim is referred to as Isura. The Gemara has, the Tosefta and Sanhedrin has a dispute among the Tanoim. If a rabbi is giving a shiur, a rabbi is giving a shiur in the yeshiva, one of the students asks a question totally unrelated to what they're learning. So the Tosefta says the student has to apologize to everybody and say, I apologize, that question was out of place, I shouldn't have asked, it has nothing to do with what we're learning. And then Rav Meir disagrees and he says, no, you never have to apologize. Everything is interconnected. So we don't accept his opinion. You accept in Shulchan Aruch, you accept that the opinion is the student who asked the question out of place has to apologize. But the principle behind Rav Meir's Shita is accepted. All the laws of Bin Adam Lamokim fit into one pattern. All the laws of Bin Adam Machaver fit into another pattern. And all the laws of Tumah V'Tara fit into a third pattern. These are three different mosaics, and that's why you can learn Amidinach and Lachaver, because Kol HaTarakul and that area is Taka Inyan Echot. The Gemara draws several distinctions between a mitzvah Shebin Adam Lachaver as opposed to a mitzvah Shebin Adam Lamakam. I'd like to run through some of them. For those who are familiar with Gemara, these will strike a bell. The Gemara says in Ksubis and Daf Mem Amud Aleph that Mechila only applies to a mitzvah Shebin Adam Lachaver. Mitzvah Shebin Adam Lamakom is not shaykh to have mechila. Let's say, if I steal your property, that's Bin Adam Lachaveiro. If I damage your property, that's Bin Adam Lachaveiro. So if you give me permission in advance, so there's no prohibition of stealing, there's no prohibition of damaging. You gave me permission to do it, so there's no reason. What if you give me permission to mutilate your bodily, to mutilate your body? You give me permission to kill you. The patient is suffering, and he pleads from the doctor, please kill me, I'm suffering so much. So the halacha says you're not allowed to commit suicide. The halacha says you're not allowed to mutilate your own body. So you're meichel to yourself. So you see the mechila doesn't work over there. So the explanation is because the prohibition against mutilating one's body is ben adam lamakom. That's not ben adam lachaver. The other fellow is not the balabas to be meichel b'harayah. I'm not allowed to do it to myself. So the Gemara in Ksubis on that daf, the Gemara is discussing the pasuk goloi siyeh leisho. Whether that's Bein Adam Lamakom, Bein Adam Lachaver, so the Gemara says, and the fact that the girl can forgo, she can be Meichel, that's Chusi, see, that's only a mitzvah, Bein Adam Lachaver. If it would have been Bein Adam Lamakom, Mechila wouldn't have applied. There is a famous Gemara in Bava Metziah, and Daf Lamed Aleph, where the Gemara discusses the following situation. A Kohen is riding in his car on the highway, he sees the car in front of him, has the luggage on top, and the suitcase falls off, and it rolls into the cemetery. On the side of the road. So the Kohen is driving in the car behind, and he sees the people in front of him are Jewish, and there's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, and he starts honking his horn, honking. The fellow's trying to catch up with the guy to tell him. He can't tell him that he should pick up his Aveda. So the Kohen has an obligation to do Hashavas Aveda. But would you permit the Kohen to walk into the cemetery in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda? After all, we have a rule. Mitzvah sasei, doicha mitzvah loy sasei, whenever there's a conflict. Not whenever, on occasion, sometimes, a lot of conditions. But on occasion, there is a rule that when there's a conflict between fulfillment of a mitzvah sasei and violation of a loy sasei, so the mitzvah sasei is doicha the loy sasei. Beis Halevi writes that for so many years, tchelis was not available, so how did we wear tzitzis without tchelis? We're all in violation of Baltigra. You're putting on tzitzis without putting on tchelis. They said, well, you have no choice. You want to fulfill the mitzvah. Tzitzis, you only have lavan. So esed dechaloy sesek. He says that for so many generations we were walking around with esed dechaloy sesek. People thought it's something on the books. So Beis Halevi says no. It's lemaisa. We have been living with that esed dechaloy sesek for quite a few centuries. If you have tchelis available, then if you don't put on tchelis on the beged, then you're in violation of baltigra. So you have no heter to wear the tzitzis at all. So the Gemara says, but there's a limit. You can't say. You can't say that the mitzvah should be in Adam Lachaveira of Hashavas Aveda is Dercha the Isa bin Adam Lamakam of Tumas Kohen. The Kohen is not allowed to be Metamil Mason, that's bin Adam Lamakam. Hashavas Aveda is a mitzvah bin Adam Lachaveira, so that's not Dercha. Esa Dercha Loisesi doesn't apply when the Esa is bin Adam Lachaveira. The Rabban explains why in his Chidushim there on Bava Metziah. So he says the obligation to fulfill all the mitzvahs should be in Adam Lachaveira means I have to take care of your needs as if they would have been my own need. So if the Kohen's own suitcase would fall into the cemetery, he wouldn't have a heter to go be metamil mason. So it cannot be that the obligation to take care of someone else's needs is greater than that his interest in taking care of his own needs. He's not allowed to be metamil mason to take care of his own aveda. So of course he's not allowed to be metamil mason to take care of somebody else's aveda. That's where the Gemara in Bava Metzia draws this distinction between mitzvah shemeron mahaver, mitzvah shemeron mamachim. There's a third place where the Gemara draws a distinction with respect to hashavas aveda. So the pasuk says, if I see someone else's aveda that's lost, behis alamta, you may think that you'll close your eyes, you'll ignore it, you'll make believe you didn't see it. So it says, lo sucha lisam, you're not allowed to do that. So that's the simple reading of the pasuk. Lest the person see someone else's aveda, behis alamta, lest he's going to act as if he didn't notice it. So the Torah says, lo sucha lisam, you're not allowed to make believe you didn't see. So the Gemara says, yes, that's the pshuta shamikra, the simple translation of the pasuk, but there's an additional level of interpretation that the Torah Shabbat reads of it. His salam the parmim shatam misalem. Sometimes the halacha says that when you lost, when you see someone else has lost the article, the salamta, you have a right to ignore it. When do you have a right to ignore it? So the Gemara says, if it's a zokem ve'en alefich vaydai, let's say he's a rabbi and it's a woman's piece of underwear, and he finds it in the street. So if it would have been his own wife's, he wouldn't have, and he doesn't have any pocket to put it in. So he's going to walk like this in the street. If it would have been his own wife's aveda, he wouldn't have walked in the street to take care of it. So he's not obligated to take care of someone else's aveda. If it would have been his own aveda, he wouldn't have done it. If it would have been b'shalo, he wouldn't have taken care of it. He would be embarrassed. So if it's b'shalo aveda, he wouldn't be obligated either. So the Gemara draws a distinction, such a distinction between mitzvah shebenad machaver as opposed to mitzvah shebenad machaver. This is a consideration of kavod rabbis. A person doesn't want to be humiliated, doesn't want to be embarrassed. So the Gemara says, we see from the pasuk the hisalamto, the kavod rabbis is doicha the obligation to observe a mitzvah shebenad machaver. But you cannot extrapolate from there that kavod rabbis should permit you to violate a mitzvah shebenad machaver, because yisurim imamayna loyafino. The pasuk only says hisalamto by mitzvah shebenad machaver. So there, it makes sense. The Rabban explains, I'm not mechiyev to do for others what I wouldn't do for myself. The chiyev to do for the others is, I have to take care of the other person's needs as if they would have been my own needs. The Rambam writes a fourth distinction between mitzvah shebenad machaver, mitzvah shebenad mamokim. The Rambam, in the end of Hilchas Brochas, starts off a whole chapter that, in addition to all the other brochas that the rabbis instituted before and after eating food, and the other brachas I instituted about seeing exciting things in the world, the rainbow, and seeing beautiful mountains and beautiful oceans and so on, the Chachamim formulated a takana, we should recite the Birchas HaMitzvah before we're about to perform any mitzvah, should be in Adam Lamakam. So the Rambam, just by formulating his principle, by formulating the klal, is answering the question that many of the commentaries raise on the Gemara. How come we don't recite a bracha before we give tzedakah to a nani? How come we don't recite a bracha before we go b'mevakeh chela, before yimenachem aveilev, and so on? So the Rambam writes, the Chachamim only were mistaken a bracha, a mitzvah, sheminadam lamokim. They were never mistaken, b'inadam lachaver. Asher kedushana b'mitzvah, yisav, etzivan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu singled out the Jewish people something special. What, that we give charity? The non-Jews give charity also. The non-Jews visit the sick in the hospital also. So there's nothing so unusual about doing mitzvah shebenad machaver if we share it in common with the other people in the world as well. But the Chacham only formulated the obligation, the takana, the recite of Brichas HaMitzvah before performing a mitzvah. That's really a mitzvah shebenad machaver. There's a famous, last week was the yahrzeit of Chacham Avadya. So in yeshiva, we have a lot of svardim in yeshiva, Ken Yirbu. I have a whole bunch of svardim in my class. Gotta be careful what I say. you're not allowed to cross Chacham Avadya, not allowed to say anything against, he's like Moshe Rabbeinu. So everybody was talking about things. So just yesterday, I had to speak for the, there was a svardik Shabbaton yesterday, the color of the earth, I had to speak for the svardim also. So I was looking through some of the tshuvas. Chacham Avadya has a tshuva on the following topic. The Gemara has a principle, ha'oisik b'mitzvah potam min ha'mitzvah. So the Gemara gives the example, a person is busy doing hashavas aveda, and then a poor man comes and he asks for a nedava, so I'm not obligated. Since I'm busy taking care of hashavas aveda, the hashavas aveda is not going to run away, so I can really stop doing the hashavas aveda, give the man some zok, and then go back to do the mitzvah of al Shabbos Aveda. But the Gemara says, you're not mechuyev to. The Gemara says, since I'm Isaac and mitzvah A, so I'm not mechuyev to be mafsik to take care of mitzvah B. So the case the Gemara gives is, a person is busy taking care of a mitzvah shebin al machaveira, then he doesn't have to give tzedakah bin al machaveira. The Gemara has a case, a person is busy doing a mitzvah shebin al machaveira, is going to visit his Rebbe on Sholosh Regalim, so he doesn't have to sleep in Sukkot. He's potter. That's going to deter, that's going to interfere with his ability to visit the Rebbe. So Gemara says in Sukkot, he said, mitzvah ben adam lachaveira, ben adam lamakam, is potter from a mitzvah of ben adam lamakam. Would you be able to cross over from one line to the other? Let's say a person is busy toveling in a mikveh, and an ani comes, and he asks for an adava. Well, sometimes in New York this happens, we're at the end of a wedding and everybody's busy benching and anim are going around, they want you to give them money in the middle of the benching. Are you mechuyev to be mafsik in the middle of the benching to give tzedakah to the yoni, or do you say, oisik the mitzvah, potem and a mitzvah, does it apply if you're busy doing a mitzvah, min adam lamakam, does that pata you from a mitzvah, min adam lachaveir, only, maybe it's only if it's in the same realm, in the same area. Maybe the two different areas. So that was an idea that one of the Achrayim came up with late Achrayim, in the 1800s. The Shem Aryeh came up with such a chiddush that one is busy with a mitzvah, Shebin Adam HaMakim, doesn't patur of a mitzvah, Shebin Adam HaChaver, but he writes that the Tesis in the end of Shavuos says the Feirish not so. So Chacham Avadya thinks that Tesis is right. He thinks that this was an Ashkenazi sefer who said that. Would have been a Sfaradi, maybe he would have thought twice. But there's only an Ashkenazi, so he ignored it. I was speaking yesterday for the group, for the Sfaradish group, so I didn't know that we have a lot of minhagim that are based on things that appear in Parshas Lech Lecha. So I spoke about one of them. We have a minhag, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, Vayotze Osa HaChutze, he tells him, go out of your tent, look up at the stars, can you count all the stars? You're going to have so many children. So we have a minhag when a young girl gets married, and we want to bless the girl, she should have a big family, she should have grandchildren, great-grandchildren, she should have a lot of descendants. So we have a minhag, we go out and we don't, if it's not too uncomfortable, if it's not snowing outside, it's not raining outside, so you go outside and you shtel l'chupa outside in order to invoke the blessing of kol yezarach. If the woman is 65 years old and she lost her husband and she's remarried, she's not interested in having any babies at the age of 65, so then we have the chuppah inside. But whenever it's a young girl, we want to bless her that she should have children, so we have the chuppah outside. So I didn't know whether this is a Sfaradish minhag or not, so I came to the discovery that it's not. Chacham Avadya writes that we don't have that minhag and we shouldn't go out of our way to adopt the minhag. There's nothing wrong if you don't go out. Okay, good. I was explaining to them what the meaning was based on, the Pesukim and Chumash, and when it applies, when it doesn't apply. Of course, there's another distinction between Mitzvah Shebin Adam HaMakom and Mitzvah Shebin Adam HaChaver. Here there's a whole literature on this topic. If a person ba'avol someone else, if a person did an Avera, so he has to be Chozer B'Tshuva. If a person did an Avera Bin Adam HaChaver, he stole or he ruined someone's reputation, Lashon Hara, whatever, so he can do tshuva from today to next day, he has to ask mechila from the other person. And even if he pays money, if he doesn't ask mechila properly, then the other person doesn't have to be moichel him, and his tshuva is not going to help. So this is a topic that's discussed by the Menchas Chinuch and others from a little over 100 years ago. What's the nature of the mitzvah of kibur aviyeh? Let's say the child doesn't mistreat his parents, He gets married and he moves away and he ignores the parents like he treats everybody else in the community where he came from. He moved away, he doesn't have any shaykha, so he doesn't call, he's not unpleasant to the parents, he didn't do anything wrong against them, but he didn't do anything right. He didn't fulfill the mitzvah of kibur aviyeh. So is that the mitzvah should be not a machaver? Do we owe a debt of gratitude to our parents for bringing us into the world, for raising us? So that's a mitzvah should be not a machaver. So if a person, if it'll dawn upon the person, they should do tshuva. So it's not just enough he's going to klap al chet on Yom Kippur. He should go ask his parents mechila and try really to be mefayis them, not just to ask mechila, to admit that he did something wrong and to honestly ask for mechila. Well, maybe we should assume that the mitzvah of kibur aviyeh is only bein adam lamakom. Gemara says that shlosh shut from yesh ba'adam, every person is brought into the world with three partners, the father, the mother, and the Rabbanu Shel Olam. And the Rabbanu Shel Olam is invisible. So the Rabbanu Shel Olam says, if we will show kavod to our parents, he will consider it as if we showed kavod to him. So maybe really the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em is really a mitzvah bin Olam Hamakom. Maybe it's not bin Olam Haver. So this is a famous topic that the Menchas Chinuch discusses. Maharam Shik, who is a student of Nechassam Sofer, also discusses. Maharam Shik discusses a little different scenario. He has a situation where a child, the parent got angry at his child. Let's say the child is 20 years old and the parent is at least 50 years old. And the father says, he's so angry at the son, he says, get away from me. Don't ever do me any favors. I don't want your favors from now forever. Goodbye and good luck. I don't want to see you again. And then the father reaches the age of 85 and then he can use a little help from his son. So he says, I'd like you to come help me out. Please help me out. The kid says, but dad, you were Michael. He said, I'm Michael for the rest of my life. I'm Michael. So if somebody owes me money, I'm Michael. I can't, because now I'm rolling in dough now. So another 40 years, I say, I need money. I can't come back and say, I back out from the mechir. I was Michael, I was Michael. So if the chiyuv of kibud av v'em is benonim l'chaveiro, so then if you're Michael, you're Michael. So the father can't come back, can't change his mind 50 years later and say, I need some help. But if we should assume that the mitzvah kibud av v'em is really bein olam l'makom, so why does mechila help at all? The answer is, mechila, it's not midin mechila. The father's not a balabos to be mechila, it's bein olam l'makom. The father determines what's kibud. My father died at the age of 94. I used to visit my father, he lived in Borough Park. I used to visit my father every week because I used to give a shiur in Flatbush. So on the way home, I would stop over by my father. So sometimes I would ask him whether he needs some help. I said, what am I, an invalid? He would always say, I guess, would you like to make me a cup of coffee? I can make my own coffee. Should I help you tie your shoulder? I can tie my own shoulder. So he's not an invalid. So it's not that he was moichel. Definition of kibud is whatever. If he'd appreciate the service rendered, so then there's a mitzvah of kibud aviyeh. If he doesn't want it, so there's no mitzvah of kibud aviyeh. So that's what the Maharam Sheik discusses. The father got angry at the son at the age of 50, and he says, "Amoichel me'ata bar olam." There's a work midin mechila. Is he really ben adam l'chaver? He's a balabos to be moichel. Or maybe I should say no. Maybe it's really ben adam l'makom. It's nishkin balabos to be moichel. But ritzon shel adam zehu kvodo. What determines whether it's kibud or not is whatever he would appreciate, whatever he would like. If he doesn't want it, then it's not covered. But if he's going to change his mind after 30, 40, 50 years, then he does need little help, so then he would be obligated. So this is a famous discussion. What's the nature of the mitzvah of kibud av v'em? But those who say, some of the commentaries on Chumash said, we mentioned this earlier, that the Aseres Adiros were divided, five on one stone, five on the other stone, and the five on the first stone are Ben Adam Lamakam, and the five on the other Evan are Ben Adam Lachavero. So kibud av v'em is the bottom of the first list. That's on the first Evan. So that's according to that assumption, that's really Ben Adam Lamakam. That's a question whether that's really so or not. There's a famous comment from Yosef Engel on this. Yosef Engel's mother passed away, so he wrote a sefer in honor of his mother that's called Sheb de Nechemta, seven essays that he should have a nechama over the passing of his mother. So one of the essays he writes about this topic, what's the nature of the mitzvah of kibud av v'em? So he says, well, the Gemara says in Erevit at the end of the first perek that there was a dispute in addition to all the other arguments between the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel, they had a disagreement for 2.5 years. They must have been discussing other things also. For 2.5 years they were debating whether it's better for man that he was brought into this world. Is it better that man should not have been brought into the world? So after 2.5 years, they came to the conclusion it would have been better if we would have not been brought into the world. Because we can sin, it's so easy to sin. So Rabbi Yosef Engel says, Amitzvah should be Adam Lachaveiro. We owe a debt of gratitude to our parents, we should sue them. They brought us into this world, they did us an avla. It would have been better we shouldn't have brought into this world. But Taisus comments on that Gemara in the end of the first paragraph, the only time there's a dispute is by plain average person. But if the person is takat tzaddik, a wonderful person, then everyone agrees. Na'achlo adam shenivra, so it's better that he was brought into the world. So the nature of the mitzvah kibud av v'em really depends who you are. If the son is a tzaddik, then we owe a debt of gratitude to the parent. Then it's made adam l'chaveira also. If the son is nobody special, he doesn't deserve anything special. Then the mitzvah of kibud av v'em is only ben adam l'makom. It's not ben adam l'chaveira. He does not owe a debt of gratitude. So he interprets with this idea, he interprets the Pasuk. Says, when Bnei Yisrael were traveling, after Yitzias Mitzrayim, they were traveling to Har Sinai. So they stopped off in the city Mora. So it says, Sham Sam Lachok HaMishpat V'Sham Nisar. The Baal Shem gave some mitzvahs to the Jewish people. So the Gemara points out, the Kibbut Aviyim was given in Mara, prior to Maimon HaSin. It was given Aseres HaDibros, it was given earlier. Where does it say that in the Pasuk? Sham Lachok HaMishpat V'Sachok. The Gemara says that Paraduma was given to Paraduma. Zachok Mishpat, the Gemara says, Dinim were given. The Gemara says, Dinim were given. Where does it say anything about Kibbut Aviyim? So the Yosef Engel suggests that maybe Kibbut Aviyim is Chok HaMishpat hyphenated. If you're a tzaddik, then it's Mishpat, then it's Bein Olam HaChaver. You owe a debt of gratitude to the parents, because they brought you into this world, and that's a wonderful thing. You're somebody special. But if you're a nobody, you're nothing special, then the whole Kibbut Aviyim is only a Chok. So it's sometimes a chok and sometimes a mishpat. So Baruch Shalom gave us a more, he gave us chok for Adam, he gave us mishpat, then he gave us one mitzvah that's a chok and mishpat, both together, sometimes a chok, sometimes a mishpat. So that's a discussion. What's the nature of the din of Kibbut Aviyim? Is that Bein Olam HaMakom, or is that also Bein Olam HaHaver? Certainly is Bein Olam HaMakom also, but is it also Bein Olam HaHaver? The Meiri, in his introduction to his commentary on the Gemara, quotes a fascinating medrash, where the medrash assumes that five of the Aseres HaDibros were on one luach, five on the other luach, and the medrash adds on that there's a relationship between number six and number one, number seven and number two, and number eight and number three, because they're on line with each other. What's the connection of the five? So the Meiri goes through all of the five, the connection between each one of the five. So he says, what's the connection between Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Loi Sirtzoch? So he says, the basis for all of the mitzvahs of Bein Adam HaChaver is because God exists, and God created man, Betzalim Elokim. And if you're going to murder someone else, you're demonstrating you don't believe in God, you don't believe in Tzalim Elokim. Every person, every human being has Tzalim Elokim, but they still have even more than that. They have one Lamochim, and that's Tzalim Elokim square. But everyone has Tzalim Elokim. So the basis of Lo Tziritzach and the basis of all of the mitzvahs should be Adam HaChavera are that every person has a Tzel Malikim. That's the connection between the first of the Aseres HaDibros and the sixth. So Lo Tziritzach is based on Anochi Hashem Elokecha. We have a mitzvah of Kovod Abrius. The Torah says in the beginning of Parsha Semor that a Kohen is not permitted to come in contact with a mace unless it's one of the seven relatives. So the Pasuk says, if the Kohen's sister died, and the Kohen's sister was never married, so then lo yitamo. So the Gemara has a machlokes, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. How do you translate the words lo yitamo? So we follow Rabbi Kiva. Lo yitamo choyva. The Kohen is obligated to attend the funeral of the sister, for that matter, all of the seven relatives. It's an obligation. Even according to Rabbi Shmuel, who disagrees and thinks that lo yitamo is just a reshus, he's permitted to attend the funeral, he's not obligated to, but he agrees that there is a concept of Kavod Abrius. He says that this pasuk is not instructing us, it's not Loshen Tzibur, it's not a mitzvah that you mechuyev to, but the Gemara says there is a concept of Kavod Abrius, and there are rules and regulations when Kavod Abrius is doicha certain mitzvahs, whenever Kavod Abrius comes in conflict with the mitzvah in the Torah. So when does the Kavod Abrius take precedence and you don't observe the mitzvahs? When they say no, you have to observe the mitzvahs and ignore the Kavod Abrius. But we pasuk like Rabbi Kiva, that lo yitamo is a chayva, and that pasuk is the marker for the institution, the mitzvah of Kavod Abrius and the institution of Kavod Abrius. One of the famous, you have a mitzvah, bikur cholim, hachnasas kala, to Bein Olam HaChaver, have a lot of Bein Olam HaChaveres, nicham aveilim, and so on. One of the more famous mitzvahs of Bein Olam HaChaver is the mitzvah of tzedakah. And the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos that the attitude that we have when we give tzedakah to the aniyim is very important. The attitude should be tein lo mishalo. We should give the tzedakah to consider it as if the money belongs to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, as if we are just an apotropos on the Rabbanu Shel Olam's money. Shato v'shalcho shalohu. You, with your chachma, with all of your pikchus, you figured out how to make all the money. You, with all of your talents, belong to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. It's really his money. The Chaim David or Eimad David HaMelech says, and the Gemara quotes from the Pasuk in Tilim, Kivcho HaKol HaMiyotcho Nesan Aloch. Everything belongs to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, and we're just giving him back what's really his. It's a lot of people have the attitude, it's my hard-earned money, and I have the right to do whatever I want. I know a fellow who gave a fortune of money, a wealthy Barabbas gave a fortune of money to establish a dog hospital in Saudi Arabia. An Orthodox Jew. It's his money, he can do whatever he wants. It's not his money. He's supposed to have the attitude, kiluch ha'akol, miot for the salalach, and the Mishnah, and the halacha tells us, the Rabbinim and the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch, where you're supposed to put your money. For tzedakah, you're not the Balabas. You don't have the right to do whatever you want. The Mishnah, another Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us, al shlosha dvarim ho'ela ma'imed, al ha'torah v'al ha'void, v'al gemilas chasonim. Gemilas chasonim is one of the three pillars that keep up the world, that are crucial. So, Chaim Volozhiner has a commentary on Pirkei Avos. Also, it wasn't written by him, it was written by one of his grandchildren, but these were the drushes that he gave in Volozhin to the Balabatim on Pirkei Avos. So he quotes Rav Chaim Volozhiner there saying that before Matan Torah, Avodah, offering karbanos and gemilas chasadim, would be determined on its own. What do you want to bring as a karban? Whatever you want. How do you want to fulfill gemilas chasadim? Whatever you want. Let's say koyde Matan Torah would be a mitzvah gemilas chasadim. Someone needs a loan, and if he's going to go to the bank, they're going to charge him 10% interest. So he comes and he pleads with me, I should lend him this big amount of money, and only take 5% interest. I should do him a teiva. So Kodim Atim Torah, that was a big mitzvah. I'm going to lend him the same amount of money for only 5% interest. And then Kodim Atim Torah, what do you bring as a carbon? Whatever you want to bring. Very nice. You want to bring an elephant, you want to bring a deer, you want to bring kosher animals, whatever you want to bring. But after Matan Torah, the Avodah, HaKrovos HaKarbanos, and the Gemilas Chasadim have to be done in accordance with the Torah. Everything has to be in accordance with the Torah. So you can no longer bring Chaya, you can't bring a deer, and you can't bring an elephant, and you can't bring a horse as a carbon. And if you lend a fellow, you do him a Teivan, he pleads with you, lend me this amount of money and only charge me 5% interest, that'll be an Issa Ribbis. Even though I'm not a loan shark, I didn't go out of my way to try to extract the interest from him. He came and he pleaded with me. The bank only lends at 10% interest. I should lend him at 5% interest. After Matan Torah, that's an Issa. The Avodah, the Karbanos, and the Gemilas Chasadim has to be in accordance with the laws of the Torah. So the Torah gives us, the Halach he gives, based on Psukim and Chumash, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes this, Kedimas. There's a hierarchy of where you should give your money for tzedakah. Some people make a mistake. They think kedima means which mitzvah, which check they make out first. Like you put on the shal yad before the shal rosh, you put on your talis before you put on your tefillin. Kedima has nothing to do with which check you make out first. You can make out the later check first also. Kedima means who gets more money. If you only have so much money, so where should you put most of your money? Where should you put less money? So the Shulchan Aruch collects all the psukim, collects all the gemaras, and they have a whole hierarchy. The halacha says that first the anim from your family take precedence. Then you have to take care of the anim in your family. Then you have to take care of aniya yircha, the anim in your city. Yeah, what do you mean in your family? The extended family, you have 10th cousins. No, so there's a limit how far, strictly speaking, how far the family goes. Many poskim assume the Chachma Zodim or Moshe Feinstein assumes like this, and it means 2/3 and 1/3. If I have close relatives who really need help, so I should give up however much money I have to give to tzedakah, so I should give up until 2/3 of all of the money that I have to give to tzedakah to the members of my family. Baruch Hashem, nobody in my family is in need of money. Or even if someone would be in need, they wouldn't need 2/3 of all of the money that I give away to tzedakah. So whatever I give, fine to them. To the aniyei hamishpacha, that's taken care of. Then, the next is aniyei yircha, the poor people in your city. So you should give again, 2/3, up until 2/3 of what's left after taking care of those members of your family. You should give up until 2/3. And 1/3 for everybody else. What do you mean aniyei yircha? You live in Chicago, it's a gigantic city. New York is also a big city. What do you mean you're going to give? It's on Ashiya, so there's no money left. You're going to give the whole 2/3. So the Pashtus Aniyecha doesn't mean all the poor people who happen to live in your city with respect to Tchum Shabbos. You can walk from one end of, I don't know, from one end of Chicago to the other, and Hilchot Shabbos, it's all Tocha Tchum, it's all the city. It doesn't mean that. The Pashtus says, Aniyecha means the Aniyim whom I have a Shachas with. I see these people, we daven in the same shul. The anim in the other part of the city have no shaykhis with them. Well, ani yeicha means the mikveh that my wife uses. The day school where my children and my children-in-law attended. The yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael is not in my city, But my children and my children all attended schools in Eretz Yisrael, the boys' schools, the girls' schools, that's Ani Yeircha. Those institutions, those shuls where I go to the yeshiva, where I learned and the yeshivas where my children learned, my children alone, my grandchildren, that's called Ani Yeircha, those institutions I have a shaychus with. Those Ani Yeircha, and you can have Anim who live in the city or the other mikvahs in the city, the other shuls, the other schools, I have no shaychus with them. So that's not called Ani Yeircha, and you can have yeshivas in other cities where you do have a shaychus because your children went there, your grandchildren. So that is called Ani Yeircha. Then after the Ani Yeircha is taken care of, then the next kedima is Ani Yerushalayim. That's the end of the story. Ani Yerushalayim. That's the beginning and the end of the story. But you're not supposed to give 2/3 of whatever is left to the Ani Yerushalayim. And then after they're taken care of, so 1/3 should be saved for that. The rest of the Anim in Eretz Yisrael, they should get 2/3 of the Anim, and the rest of the world should get the last 1/3. Of course, it says in the commentaries on Shulchan Aruch, this is only provided that they're all on the same level of need. If the Ani Yeircha, or my close relative, needs a pair of Shabbos shoes, they have clothes, they need a pair of Shabbos shoes. And Ani Yerushalayim need food to put on a table. So the Aniyim and the rest of Eretz need food to put. They have no food. They're fasting every Monday and Thursday. That's a beautiful meaning. But they fast because you have no money to buy bread and water to put on a table. So then the Aniyim who have the greater needs take precedence over the Aniyim, even though the others are earlier in the list. So they take precedence. You have to give them. So it's a complicated cheshbon. We have to try to figure out the calculation. Yesterday in the parsha we read that there was a war between the five kings and the four kings won against the five kings, and then they took Lot into captivity, and Avraham Avinu felt bad for his nephew Lot, so he put together a little army, 318 soldiers, the Pasuk says, and he won the war against the four kings. So the Ramban in his commentary on Chumash and several other commentaries explain the same. They say, we have an international halacha, and it's based on Psukim and Tanakh. The halacha recognizes this din of Kibush Muhammad. If one country wins the war against another country, so the victorious country acquires ownership of all of the property. So when the four kings beat out the five kings, so they now acquired ownership of the five cities. When Avraham Avinu's army beat out the four kings, he now acquired ownership of all of the nine cities. So the first thing that he does is that he gives Maisik Sachim. He meets Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem, and the Medrash says that that was Shem Ben Noyach, Shem had Yeshiva Shem Yeva. And the Tanoim say on the Pasuk in Re'eh, Aser Te'aser, Skaltvo Zarech, Ayot Te'aser, Deshon Hashon. Why does it say twice Aser Te'aser? So it's Marbe, whenever something is repeated. Hanitanik Nosin Titein, Pasach Tiftach, so whenever you have something repeated, so we assume the pasuk is marbe something. So when it says there aser te aser, it's marbe that you should give maisik sofin. Not only should you be mafresh maisris on what grows in Eretz Yisrael, everything, all the food that grows is tevel until you mafresh shumas and maisris. But a person who makes money anywhere in the world, there's no din of hafrashas shumas and maisris, but you should give maisik sofin to the lomdei Torah. That's how it says in this effect, to the lomdei Torah. So Avraham Avinu meets up with Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem. So he just acquired ownership of nine cities. So the first thing he does is that he gives Maisik Sofim, Yitzhak Maisim Mikol, gives Maisik Sofim to support the yeshiva. Then the Ramban explains, Melech Sodom sees how generous Avraham Avinu is, giving away Stoker. So he's come begging to Avraham Avinu. Usually you read the Psukim in the reverse, you think that Melech Sodom is offering a matana to Avraham Avinu. And Avraham Avinu turned down the gift. So the Ramban says, no, the story is backwards. Avraham Avinu acquired ownership of all of the nine cities. So the first thing he did was when you have a big income and you make a lot of money on a business deal, so you got to give Maisik Sofim. So he says, separates right away Maisik Sofim. So Melech Sodom sees that he's such a generous, benevolent man. So he comes and he pleads, I used to be a king. Do me a favor, give me back the people. He's begging for a matana. So Avraham Avinu says, I'll be happy to give you everything. I don't want anything. The Chelek Gavoya had to give away. I had to give them Maisik Sofim. That's the Allah. I earned, I acquired ownership, I have to give. But I don't want the rest of it. So he gave everything back. So the commentaries on the Chumash point out that Avraham Avinu already observed this practice of giving Maisik Sof. Maisik Sof is if a person can afford it. There are some people who just can't afford to give Maisik Sof. One should, it's a beautiful practice. There are three different opinions whether Maisik Sofim are giving one tenth. You have to give one tenth after you take off the taxes. Whatever is withholding taxes considered as if you never earned it. But if a person can afford it, so the proper practice is that he should give away one tenth to tzedakah. Either tzedakah to support the yeshivas, like the Tanaim said, talom de Torah, tzedakah to the yanim, whatever. So the three different opinions. Some are of the opinion that it's really a din ben ator. It's learned out from the pasuk aser te'aseh. Others are of the opinion that it's only in the rabbanon. It's generally assumed that it's not even in the rabbanon. It's only amidas chasidus. But it's a recommended minhag toif. If a person can afford it, again, if a person can't afford it, he shouldn't try. In fact, Meir Arik writes in his Trumas that the first time a person earns money and gives Maisik Sofim, he should say Belim Neder, so he won't be obligated to continue observing in case one year he'll have a difficulty. He won't be mechuyav to give the Maisik Sofim. The Gemara Ksubas on Daf Nun points out that when Yaakov Avinu was running away from Esav and he had the dream with the Malachim Olam Yoredim on the ladder, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Yaakov Avinu is going to protect him, is going to take care of him, is going to be Matzliach. So Yaakov Avinu promises, Baruch Shalom, Kol Shati Tani, Aser Asrein Aloch. Whatever I will earn, I will give Maaser Ksofim. But he said twice, Aser Asrenu. So the Gemara says in Ksubis, it's a nice idea to give Maisik Sofim, and if you can give more, that's wonderful, but you shouldn't give. Shouldn't give more than twice Maisik. You may become poor if you give too much. Charity has to begin at home. What's he going to give away to the other Aniyim? And then he'll become poor. That's ridiculous. So you shouldn't give more than one-fifth. Aser Asrein Aloch. The Shita Mekubetzah's comments on that Gemara, that's only if you're giving tzedakah to the poor. If you're giving to support yeshivas, then he says, this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, then it's permissible to give even more than Maisik Sofim, because the only concern was Shema Yayoni, that still become poor. I remember every year, when Karim Yavne would have the annual dinner, so the president of Karim Yavne was Mr. Hachstein, Olav Hashem, for many years, so he'd always have the same shtick. He said, tell the people, how much would you like to make next year? However much you want to make, give one tenth now. Then they run slow. Maybe by him it worked. I don't know. Other people it doesn't always work. But that's a nice idea to give. It's a minig to have to give Maisik Sofim. For wealthy people, you're permitted to give more than Chaim Sholso. This is points out from the Gemara. If a person is extremely wealthy, he can give even more. The Gemara points out the whole reason why one is not permitted to give more than Chaimesh is Shema Yayani, lest he will become poor in Tzarech Labriya. So the Gemara says if he's about to die and he's making his last will and testament, and if he's going to give away too much, he's going to die anyway. So what's the issue? So then the Gemara says he's permitted to give more than one-fifth. On the other hand, there is a concern. You're not allowed to be Mabe Nachla from your children, or even if you have no children, from your relatives. Those who were supposed to get a Yerusha, you're not allowed to take away. There was one Tana, the Gemara says, Yossi ben Yoezer was the days of the Zugas, that was before the period of the Tanoim. He had a son who was a nice balabas. His son wasn't a Tana. And the father was so upset why his son didn't go into learning. He could have made his son into a Tana. His son could have become a big Tamachal. His son was an interesting businessman. So Yosef ben Yezer was so upset, so when he died, he gave away everything to the Beis HaMikdash. He lived in the days of the Beis HaMikdash. The other Tanaim told me, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to take away the money from your son. Your son wasn't a Rosh. He was Orthodox, a Balabas. He wasn't interested in learning. So then the Gemara, how much money did Yosef ben Yezer already have already? He wasn't a rich man. So the Gemara says, whatever the father gave, the son later on, in his business, he gave much more to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, he didn't do right. You're not allowed to be Mama Nakla from your children. So that's the question. A person wants to make out a will, and it's recommended that he should leave a lot of money to tzedakah. People should give tzedakah while they're alive, but it's also an inyan to give tzedakah when a person dies. He should leave instructions in his will. He should give tzedakah. Preferable is if it's possible that the check should be made out before the burial. It's usually not possible, okay? But if it's possible, it should. So how much does a person have to leave for his children not to be in violation of the din of being mavenach? So that's a machlokes. So some were of the opinion that you have to leave at least 51% for your yorshim. Ruba kukuloi, and then it's okay. The author of the Gesher Achayim, Rabbi Chaim Michal Tikhachinsky, was not a wealthy man. How much money did he make already selling this one Gesher Achayim? $1,000, $5,000, what did he have already? So when he died, his son wrote in the introduction to the Sefer, Gesher Achayim is all about the laws of Avelis, what do you do when someone dies? So he writes, when my father died, he gave all the instructions as he wrote in the Sefer, open the window and light a candle and do this and do that and do the other thing. And he gave away to Tzedakah 49% of what he had and 51% of the bupkis, 51% of the $2,000 he left to his son. Nissen Tikhachinsky, okay, his father found. That's not the accepted thing, generally not accepted like that. There's an opinion, the opposite direction, as long as leave $10 for the children, that's good enough. That's what the Tzedakah Choshen quotes from the Tshuvas HaGoyim. We usually follow the Chasam Sofer on this, somewhere in between. If you give a significant matana, a significant amount to each one of the yarshim, so then you can give way more than 50% to the tzedakah. What's considered a significant amount? So Moshe Feinstein wrote his tshuva, $10,000 was considered a significant amount. That was 70 years ago. Some today it's $100,000. I don't know, something significant. It depends how much the person has. Yeah. This is the mitzvah of tzedakah. The Gemara says that tzedakah tata posuk says tzedakah tata bimavis, that let's say a person knows he is a sinner and he wants to give more than 20%, he wants to give more than chayimish because he needs a kapara. So let's say a person needs surgery. A person is deathly sick and needs surgery, but the surgery is going to cost him more than 20% of the savings that he has in the bank. So he said, he's potter from the mitzvah of doing the surgery, because it's more than chaymish. You know, you have to buy lulav if you have to blow in more than 150. So you have to take a little drop dead. So that's ridiculous. Kol shalodim yitim bad nafsha. First wants to save his life. He can't say, he's not mechayif to give more than chaymish. Of course not mechayif, but he wants to save his life. So the person knows that he's a sinner, and he needs a kapara. So they quote from the Balatanya, the author of the Tanya, wrote in the Shulchan Aruch. If the person is giving tzedakah because he feels that he needs it, tzedakah tatzim imavis, then you're permitted to give even more than chaymish. Yeah, this audience we're talking to, we're not talking about such people, but there is an inyan of giving tzedakah tatzim imavis, and it should be significant. And the Chavetz Chaim points out that the mitzvah to support lamdei Torah, he says people make a mistake. They think that that's bimkoim, that's a substitute for learning. Those who don't learn, so everybody has to have a shaykhas with learning. So those who learn, learn. They don't have to support the yeshiva. Those who don't learn, so bimkom learning, they have to give money. He shows from Amar Chazal that that's not true. Even the people who do learn, big talmid chacham, they're mechuyif to support learning of Torah. They're mechuyif to support other people who learn Torah. This is b'kitzur, a brief overview of the general area of mitzvahs shebin adam lachaver, as opposed to mitzvahs shebin adam lamakom. It's a different category. The many differences, we went through six differences between Bein Adam HaChaver, Bein Adam HaMokim. And most of the mitzvah should be Bein Adam HaChaver, there's going to be reciprocity. And sometimes it's considered chesed shalem, it's no reciprocity, not that I'm doing it in exchange for which someone's going to do back for me. It's just the mitzvah of HaLach DeMidrachu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does kindness. V'racham HaVakol Ma'aser, Rabban Shalom has Rachmanis on the behemoth also. He doesn't. So we have to have Rachmanis also on the behemoths. We have to have Rachmanis even on those who are not going to reciprocate, even on those not going to reciprocate. That's what it says in the Rambam. The Rambam writes, the Rambam quotes the Gemara that we're only obligated to be mefarnes aniye akum b'pnei dak yishovim. So the Rambam says, non-Jews, you're obligated to be mefarnes min atoyro. Like you have to take care of the behemoths, Rachman will come back. But if the fellow's an Oibed Avodah Zarah, Mevarnes Emaniyeh Akum, Akum means Oibed Kachavim Emanzola, so he doesn't deserve anything. He worships Avodah Zarah, doesn't deserve anything. So that's Midirabon, to support non-Jews who worship Avodah Zarah, they really don't deserve anything, so Midirabon, and we should give them tzedakah as well. But the Rambam writes it practically explicitly, that one has an obligation to support non-Jewish causes, if they're not of the Avodah Zarah, that's a chiyuv min hatorah based on the Mida Taiva of Halach Tavidracha, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is Racham Avakol Ma'aser. So we have to do the same as well. Thank you very much. We should all strive to observe all of these mitzvahs.